Hello, and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you or me, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm happy to be here.
She's happy to be here, or we call her Jean Marie.
Whatever.
Collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are talking about ectoparasites.
Not ectoplasma, but ectoparasites.
That's right, ectoparasites. And actually, we've talked about a few ectoparasites that feed on humans in the past, including lice and ticks. So today, we're going to talk about bedbugs, fleas, and mites. What do you guys think about that?
Great. Sounds wonderful. Ectoparasites are tiny little organisms that live in or on your skin or on the skin of larger organisms, feeding off of their host. Bedbugs, fleas, and mites are just three such critters that affect humans, which we will be focusing on today.
You know what I saw early this morning?
No idea.
A jellyfish with the long tentacles?
Yes.
You know how the tentacles will kill fish?
Yes.
Well, there is a jellyfish fish.
Okay.
That actually nibbles at the tentacles to help clean them.
Okay.
And it does not get killed as easily as the other fish.
Okay.
And then I also heard that I might have mites on my eyelashes, and that was very upsetting.
Okay. I'm going to slide away from you.
Yeah, and back to the show.
All right. We've heard much about these critters in the media today, like I just said. I heard about it this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But long before hominids started walking on two legs, some 4 million years ago, mites, bedbugs, and fleas were feasting on other hosts.
Fossil records and research have found that mites have been around for at least 50 million years, bedbugs 100 million years, and fleas 125 million years. So fleas, mites, and bedbugs are nothing new, and guess what?
What?
They continue to bug us today.
True enough.
Sorry for the pun.
Who's that script writer?
I don't know.
Well, with the increase in human travel, ectoparasites have been able to spread around the world. They can affect anyone, no matter who you are, where in the world you live, or what you look like. The good news is that bites and infestations can be treated. And we will share some tips to help you identify, avoid, and prevent these bugs from bugging you.
Yep. Okay, well, let's talk about bedbugs, mites, and flea bites. You may only actually see a bite after you've been bitten and never actually see the ectoparasite itself. Flea, mite, and bedbug bites may also cause skin irritation. So if you are bitten, you will likely develop small raised itchy bumps or blisters. And depending on your skin tone, bites may be difficult to see or appear pink, red, or purple. And so why don't we talk about how do you know what's bugging you?
Well, flea bites, those are often found on one's ankles and typically have a red or dark purple spot in the center of a raised bump.
Okay, so that's where it bit you.
Oh, yeah. Since we're telling little stories, I remember one of the dive trips we went on to Florida, and there's a lot of flies out in Florida, and we were counting bug bites on our ankles at the airport.
Wow.
That's how bad it was.
Wow.
Oh, and maybe they weren't flies. Maybe they were fleas. Especially
sand fleas.
Did
I say flies? I meant fleas.
Yeah.
Okay.
But flies bite too.
But fleas more are, so if you have bites on your ankle.
But they were right there at the ankle. It was incredible.
Are there fleas in the sand?
Yes.
I thought so.
Sand fleas.
I thought so. Okay. Well, mites, that's what we're talking about, right?
Next. Yeah,
they may burrow into the skin to lay eggs. Oh, that's exciting news. resulting in thin, wavy lines called scabies, or they may simply attach to the skin without burrowing or laying eggs, causing these itchy raised bumps, blisters, or pustules. Typically, in the abdomen, as this is the case with sugars.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bed bug bites are often found, like you'll find them in a line, a zigzag pattern, or a cluster. And they're typically found on your face, neck, and hands because these are the areas that you weren't covered up, you know, didn't have covered up at night.
So if you have pajamas on,
the pajamas might protect you? Might protect you, yes.
Well, this is a good time to get those all in one thing. You know?
I was going
to
say we're all going to be wearing hazmat suits after this.
Now, I want to know, are these bites dangerous or are they just annoying?
Okay.
So actually, before I say that, we probably should have told people ahead of time that you might not want to be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner around this time.
And if you have, you know, if you're sensitive to such issues.
Go to the next episode. It'll be much more fun.
We were talking about the bed bugs.
Bed bugs.
Yeah, right. Bed bugs themselves are not necessarily known to spread disease. Mites, however, may be the vector for disease, but this is rare. However, fleas are known to spread diseases such as the plague, flea-borne typhus, cat scratch disease.
I was going to ask.
Sorry,
if that,
I had to say that.
Cash, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And cat scratch disease. In addition to a bite mark, if you develop fever, chills, headache, a body ache, swollen glands, nausea, or you're vomiting, have dizziness or weakness, or if you have a severe allergic reaction to any bite, please go get appropriate medical care right away.
Wow.
Yeah.
So a mite can do all that?
Exactly.
Well, like some people are highly allergic to dust mites.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now it's coming back to me. With any itchy bite, you may feel the need to scratch. Unfortunately, scratching these bites can damage your skin, can lead to infections and other complications. So try to quell that impulse and ask your healthcare provider or pharmacist for topical treatments to reduce the inflammation and itchiness.
Some individuals may be, as we said, more sensitive to bites and may have an allergic reaction to bites. In such cases, emergency medical intervention may be required.
Right. Also, as Lita mentioned, there are treatments to help with itchy bites.
Mm-hmm.
There are oral and topical prescription treatments available to kill the mites and their eggs. We will be posting links on our website with more detailed information about these treatments.
Are we going to talk more about these burrowing egg laying?
Well, that's what I was going to say. So that's scabies.
Okay.
But then with chiggers, the chiggers are just on the outside. So if you take a shower, well, we'll talk about that in a minute.
All right. I was just wondering because I'm still kind of crazy about that.
Oh, yeah.
The human itch mite, which causes scabies, is spread by direct contact. Areas where people are in close contact for extended period of time are more likely to have scabies outbreak as the mites spread from person to person.
So
is that the thing that they used to have on the ships back in the Pilgrims days?
I mean, we still have it today. If you're in jailhouse populations.
Okay.
Anytime
that you're stuck in an area and you can't really get out.
Retirement homes.
Okay. Okay.
Schools.
Oh, wow. Scabies? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they spread from person to person. Chiggers, which is another type of mite, is typically spread from foliage in warm, damp areas to clothing of the individuals that are brushing by. The mites cling to the clothing that you're wearing and then will try to crawl underneath and attach to your skin. They do not burrow under or into the skin. So taking a shower with soap and water and then washing your clothing, bags, towels, shoes, and whatnot that you had with you, and then allowing any bites to heal naturally should be all you need to take care of the problem. You don't, because you might see a darker dot in the middle of a reddish wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think that that's the mite. That's just the bite.
Okay.
So you don't need to take an oral medication to kill them off because you can just wash them off.
Do you need to use a loofah, or they just don't like soap and they just say, I'm out of here?
You
can just knock them off.
Yeah, you want to be,
but they're tiny.
Aren't they tiny?
That's why you're taking microscopic.
So take a shower with soap and water, and if you're going to exfoliate, gently exfoliate because you don't want to irritate the skin more.
Okay.
But you don't have to cover them with nail polish. You don't have to put petroleum jelly over them.
Okay.
because they're not there. You know, once you take a shower, they're gone. You just have to let those.
Peanut butter?
No, no, don't put peanut butter. Just let them heal.
Okay.
If you put peanut butter on your skin, you're going to have a dog attached. That'll be a completely different thing.
It's a big mite.
Yeah.
By now, folks, you're probably asking yourself, why am I listening to this? Also, because of what we're talking about, you're probably asking yourself, why is my skin so itchy all of a sudden? And what can I do to avoid any flea or mite or bed bug bite, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some prevention.
Sure. Fleas and mites may be spread by wildlife. Keeping rodents out of your dwelling can help prevent them from dropping off fleas and mites in your home.
Also, like squirrels, birds, raccoons. I'm trying to think what else has been in the house. We didn't have a possum in the house, did we?
No, we had one in the yard.
Well, I think depending on
where... But we also didn't have fleas in the house, so that's okay.
We don't have that that we know of.
No.
I think depending on where you live, too, you have more chances of getting these little critters in. So, you know, again, depending on where you live...
Yeah, I saw a moose walk into a house on Tic Tac.
Oh, I was waiting for a joke.
Oh, no, I'm just thinking, you know, so wildlife does enter houses at times.
Mm-hmm. Ecoparasites and their eggs can also hitch a ride on or in your shoes, your luggage, purses, book bags, clothing, furniture, carpets, pets, guests, and many other ways. They've been around a lot longer than we have. So they're creative and
So I got an idea. Why don't we talk about a few tips to help keep these critters out?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Yes.
Outside your home, keep the leaves, the branches, debris, bird nests, and bird feeders and bird houses away from the building, foundation, and your roof. Seal any gaps, and in multi-dwelling buildings, door sweeps may help prevent fleas and bed bugs from spreading from unit to unit.
Okay. You know what?
But
over at Mays Lake, they use those. Yeah. They use the things along the bottom of the door. Mm-hmm. I thought they were draft dodgers, but that helps keep the bugs out.
Yeah.
Should have a do not enter on it. Little tiny. When on foot in areas where there may be fleas or mites, you may want to, no, you should. I don't know, may want to. I think you should wear long sleeves and long pants, blouse your pants, which means tie them at the bottom.
Or stick them, tuck them in your sock.
Tuck them in.
And then like have them pulled back out so that they can't attach. Yeah.
Wear shoe gaiters, which protect your ankles.
What are shoe gaiters?
It's something that attaches to your shoe so that they can't like hang on to your shoelaces or get in the gaps around your shoe.
Oh.
It makes it a smooth surface. It can also actually go all the way up like to your knees, depending on the gaiter that you get.
You can get those at
hiking
stores.
You can
also get
neck gaiters.
Okay.
You should wash your skin, shower with soap and water, and wash your clothing after outings. You should store your footwear away from soft furnishings. Store them in an area without carpeting. You should keep pet vaccination and flea and tick treatments current. If you know that you will be in an area that's known to have a large population of mites, bed bugs, fleas, mosquitoes, or ticks, you may want to pre-treat your shoes, clothing, and luggage with an EPA-approved product. We will post more about this on our website.
That's pretty interesting. Also, before you bring any secondhand furniture or rugs, bedding, luggage, bags, clothing, or shoes, or stuffed animals, or pet beds, or toys into your home, thoroughly check them for fleas and bed bugs. And if possible, wash these items with soap and hot water or steam clean them.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are there any more tips for keeping ectoparasites at bay in your home?
Well, you should wash your bed linens every week in hot, soapy water.
Good point. Also, wash your pet beds regularly.
And whenever possible, keep dirty clothes off of the floor and also to a minimum.
Try to avoid anything from piling up in the home and dispose of refuse in a proper container.
Also, there are products available out there to encapsulate your mattress and box spring, such as tightly woven fabric covers, that kind of act as a pillowcase for your mattress and box spring. These products may help eliminate places where bed bugs like to hide.
It's also a good idea to vacuum sweep and or wash your floors regularly.
And when traveling, check your accommodations before unpacking your luggage. I heard that in Las Vegas, a guy got bitten in a very private spot by a scorpion. And the hotel wanted to blame him for not checking the room thoroughly because it's out in the desert.
But was there a scorpion in his, like, the bed?
Yeah. Or in the shower.
I mean, because scorpions aren't normally, they don't normally, like, would they? I don't know.
Well, let's just say I'm guessing it was in bed because it bit him in a very private spot.
Well, you can also get mites biting you. Like, for example, chiggers can bite you in private spots. And then it can be difficult. And when we say, like, on your penis. And then you could have difficulty peeing. So if that happens, make sure you contact your healthcare provider and they can help you with as far as giving you like an anti-inflammatory or something.
Right. So if you have some swelling down there, it might not
you
be
never
some,
know what
yeah,
it is.
Right. Yeah. So go see your doctor.
The point I was making, I mean, mites and chiggers are hard to spot.
Right.
However, a scorpion.
You should be able to see.
Yeah. So, yeah.
They're not known for their stealthiness.
Well, continue with our checking.
Right.
Right. Go ahead.
So bed bugs themselves, they can be hiding in the nooks and crannies of the mattress or the box spring, or even the bed frame, the headboard, your bedside furniture, or even behind the artwork hanging on the wall.
And actually, when we travel, we like to put our luggage in the bathroom, which is the least likely spot for bed bugs because it's mostly hard surfaces.
Right.
And then we'll pull back the bed linens and check the bed and the mattress and the box spring before settling in.
Well, with as much traveling as I do, I think you've just given me some more tips.
I hope you do that already.
Well, you assume, and I'm going to use the word
people, some people walk into their hotel room, and the first thing they do is they put their luggage
on the bed.
On the bed.
Right.
That's how to take extra guests home
with
you.
Yeah, those are souvenirs you don't want to take home.
So that when possible, you may also want to check your hospital room, too, for bed bugs.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Wow.
I guess basically bottom line is...
Anybody, if you're sharing a bed that's communal for some reason...
Wherever you go, check first.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Also, whenever you are out, try and keep handbags, bookcases, and what?
Book bags.
Oh, I'm sorry. Handbags, book bags, and the like off of the floor.
Keep those bookcases off of the floor.
Suspended in midair.
Sorry, okay.
All right. This may also help prevent cockroaches from hitching a ride home with you.
And when you return home after your trip, wash all of the clothing you took with you on your trip in hot, soapy water. None of us can talk today. Water, if possible, whether or not you wore the clothing, because the bed bugs can spread from your luggage to your clothing, from one piece of clothing to another piece, from your shoes to your clothing.
So you should really go from home, bring the luggage home, open the luggage in the laundry room, and just toss it in.
Right.
And clean your luggage, too.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I mean, oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah, clean your luggage before you store it.
Wow. I have never thought of that. Now, do those ultraviolet lights kill them? Like, could you just zap them with ultraviolet light?
I think we're going to post on our website some studies about ozone, but you can't be in an area with ozone. It's not safe for you to be there. And then there's also, a EPA-approved spray. Did we mention that yet?
No, not yet. Because I'm worried about it now.
Yeah, we'll post that on our website as well.
We've got all our luggage in a closet next to my bedroom.
Okay, I check our luggage and I wipe off the wheels before
I store
it.
But the mites are tiny, tiny, teeny, tiny.
You're more worried.
I'm more worried about bed bugs.
Yeah.
Well, you asked me earlier what I'm doing later today. Now you know. I'm going home and cleaning out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how big is a bed bug?
We're going to post that on our website as well.
I'm asking you.
They're tiny. You can see them.
Okay.
Yes. And they usually will like congregate together to keep warm.
Okay.
So you'll see like bunches, especially if you see them on a mattress.
All right.
And hopefully they'll stand out against the mattress.
Okay. Well, if you're at a beach that has sand fleas, like what Ron experienced, You may want to remove as much sand from yourself and anything you're bringing home with you. Wash those beach towels, toys, and bags.
And if you find that fleas, bed bugs, or other critters have infested your home, it may be time to call a professional exterminator.
Yeah, that's some good information. So for more tips, photos of mites, fleas, and bed bugs and their bite marks, check out this episode on our website, Podcast DX.
And that wraps up this episode. Thank you for listening. God. If you have any questions or comments related to today's show, you can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com. You can also find us on a website, podcastdx.com. We're on Facebook, Pinterest, TikTok, and Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast.
As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.